Thank you so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
After the train derailment, lawyers descended on East Palestine, and eventually class action lawsuits were consolidated into one led by three main lawyers. Can you say a little bit about how that works and who they are?
Yeah, I think many might remember those early days after the derailment in East Palestine, when there was quite a lot of media attention on, these really crazy photos we were seeing of, the fireball and the smoke cloud. And around that time, like a variety of law firms, many from out of state, sort of all descended on the town to sign people up to file lawsuits against Norfolk Southern. So at one point, there was at least 18 different lawsuits filed by lawyers from California, from, New York, DC, all over. But the way this process works when you have a class action lawsuit is eventually all the lawsuits sort of get consolidated and a few lawyers are appointed to lead, sort of be in charge of the litigation. And in this case, that was Jane Conroy, Elizabeth Graham, Seth Katz, pretty, well-established lawyers who've made, quite a lot of money in this field.
Your article talks about how these lawyers have already been paid from the portion that was assigned to them, but not so much the residents of East Palestine. So, what have been the biggest issues in getting people paid? Has anyone been paid?
The settlement deal over the derailment was finalized in April 2024, just over a year after this horrible accident. And it was a $600 million settlement, which sounds like quite a lot of money. But, there are tens of thousands at least of people who are eligible to submit claims because it's a fairly wide radius. Anyone within 20 miles of the derailment, could sign up for some small piece of the settlement. But the way the settlement these kinds of settlements work, which I write about in this piece, is the lawyers who negotiate it typically get a check, get their payment finalized at the same time that the deal is finalized. In this case, the lawyers in East Palestine got a total of 180 million, which is about a third of the 600 million. And that's not out of the ordinary for these kinds of, this is sort of how the process typically works. But what that causes is it sort of removes the incentive for the lawyers to make sure that everyone gets their fair share of the settlement because, if they get their check before anyone else, you can imagine tens of thousands of people, some who are very close by to the derailment, some who are further, they're all submitting claims. It's sort of a complicated process to allocate the money. And what we saw over the last year and a half is that while some people have gotten checks, many more have had their checks delayed. People are getting less money than they were promised. And I think in general, this is something I found talking to people. People feel that they are not getting, just, fair restitution for what happened. And they felt that in some cases, people felt that they were misled. They didn't understand that signing up for certain parts of the settlement meant they were signing away their right to sue Norfolk Southern down the line.
There was also an issue with the company that was hired to distribute the checks.
Yeah, I think something that was really striking to me doing this reporting was how many, obviously the lawyers and the law firms are making quite a lot of money. This is a very valuable case. But there are also these sort of like companies that are not actually law firms, but are sort of the like peripheral entities that have like they're in the business of trying to like get part of the money when there is a really valuable big, media heavy class action lawsuit like the one in East Palestine. So, for instance, one of the companies that I look at in the story is called Kroll. It was appointed by the court and chosen by the lawyers to be in charge of like dispersing checks. Like, you submit your claims to this Kroll, this private company, and Kroll decides how much money. You get more money if you're closer to the derailment. You get more money if you have, in theory, if you experience health consequences. And Kroll is the one deciding that. And it's this private company that, as I found, was bought out by private equity, a big investment, global investment firm, a couple of years back. And since that acquisition has had a lot of trouble and been accused of misconduct and misallocating money in not just East Palestine, but in other places as well. And in East Palestine, this company allegedly misallocated more than $17 million. They made overpayments. They were wrongly denying claims. They really bungled the process, and this caused quite a lot of delays. A new company had to come in to redo all of their work. It charged cost millions of dollars from the settlement. So you can see the role of these private actors in creating some of the problems we're seeing with the settlement and East policy.
One of the people you spoke with for the story is Will Schaefer. He had a seizure sometime after the derailment, which led to a disability, and he and his family attribute that to his exposure to chemicals in the wake of the derailment because he stayed behind and continued to work in the area. Tell me a little bit about where his story is now and, what he said to you.
Will is still waiting on any kind of money from the settlement. I spoke with his family last week before the story came out, and they haven't gotten anything, although he was promised one more than a year ago. This is a man who lived a really humble life, was worked all his life at a manufacturing facility, most recently a manufacturing facility quite close to Ground Zero, like a few hundred yards away. He lived in a mobile home park in East Palestine and had to continue going to work even despite the evacuation order, because they were using these sensitive machines in this manufacturing facility that couldn't be left unattended. And I know you all have been doing this work too, of talking to people about the health issues that they face in the wake of the derailment. It's really hard to make any definite conclusion about what is caused by the derailment, and I think people are really clear-eyed about this. It's just really hard to know. But at the same time, it's like he was very close to Ground Zero. He experienced some immediate symptoms, and then a couple months later, had a seizure while he was driving. No history of seizures at all. And it completely, he wasn't able to work. He hasn't been able to work ever since. And, this is the person you would imagine would be like the prime candidate for a big settlement check from this lawsuit. He lived in East Palestine, worked very close to the derailment, had immediate symptoms. Has never heard anything from the lawyers, still has never heard anything from the lawyers, even after he submitted paperwork explaining his situation to get his claim. Still doesn't have a check. His whole family has had to rearrange their lives around this, has really been struggling financially. Justice has not arrived for him, and there are many other residents for whom they have similar stories.
And how much money was he counting on? How much money are we talking about when we're talking about these checks?
People who were, quite close, living in East Palestine, or working in East Palestine, typically would get this initial chunk of, like, this is what they were told originally, and sort of these initial calculations. I think people have been getting different amounts depending on sort of unknown factors, but several thousand to 10,000 or so dollars if they lived in the area, plus if they decided to sign away their right to sue Norfolk Southern for health issues down the line, agreeing that we're not going to sue you later on if we get cancer, which is obviously a really difficult choice to make. But if people decided to do that, they would get an additional amount of money, $25,000 they were promised. It seems like while some people have already gotten that amount because of the way these companies have sort of screwed up the settlement, it doesn't seem like everyone's going to be able to get that amount. They're going to get far less. And of course, like, that is quite a lot of money. That, for Will Schaefer, that is a life-changing amount of money. At the same time, if he, in theory, were to go sue Norfolk Southern and, be able to prove that they were liable for his health conditions, his claim could be worth far, far more than $25,000. And I think that's where, I think real questions arise about the settlement. Like, how can you know what's fair when we don't even really know the full picture of how people have been affected? And that was, I think, really the question I was asking with my reporting.
Where are residents turning as this fight to get paid drags on? There are some people who are trying to help residents even after the settlement.
This fight is definitely not over. Not everyone signed up for the settlement. Some people are now suing Norfolk Southern, and they are represented by a different set of lawyers, including Mindy Bish of the Keenan Law Firm, an Atlanta trial law firm. And she has come in and is spearheading a new lawsuit against Norfolk Southern by people who did not want to sign up for the initial settlement deal. And she's also trying to intervene and get people out of the settlement who have decided that they actually, don't want to be part of it. So there's basically this new legal effort to try to get more justice in East Palestine. But, where that's going to lead, I don't think it's totally clear yet. It's a long shot to sort of reverse a settlement deal that's already been finalized. It's back to the question of, like, what could justice look like? And even if people get more money through this law firm, like, is that really ever going to be enough? You know, should we be asking for reform, for other kind of action against Norfolk Southern?
Yeah, how has Norfolk Southern fared in this settlement deal?
You know, I write this in the piece, is that, you know, in a way you could look at this as Norfolk Southern is really the biggest winner here. Again, 600 million, it seems like quite a big number. But Norfolk Southern had a liability policy, insurance policy that covered up to about, you know, over $1 billion in liability from a disaster like this. So their insurance policy covered the total cost of the settlement and more. They're getting checks from this insurer. You know, Norfolk Southern says it also had other costs. It also spent, you know, millions and millions cleaning up after the derailment, all of this. So it's not like they didn't lose anything, but they are still making big profits. You know, they're a publicly traded company. They have to make these numbers public. And it's clear that they are not struggling financially as a result of the settlement deal or the derailment. They've really not been like hurting from this. And furthermore, their defense team, who litigated the, you know, defended them in this class action litigation, won like awards in the industry for how well they performed. So I think there's really a sense that Norfolk Southern got a good deal, and they're running their trains through East Palestine like dozens of times a day still, you know, and they have been since a few days after the derailment.
Is there anything else you'd like people to know about the story?
Yeah, I don't know. I was really inspired by the people I met. And I think if your listenership, I'm sure, is familiar with, you know, some of these stories and you know, the importance of them and, you know, the ways in which the community has really come together to demand better from local officials, federal officials, from, you know, corporate actors like Norfolk Southern.
Thank you so much for talking with me about your story.
Thank you so much for having me on. I appreciate it.